Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord gives protection to all living beings because He is their leader, supreme leader. The Vedic hymns confirm that the Lord is the supreme person among all personalities. The difference between the two living beings is that the one, the personality of Godhead, provides for all other living beings, and by knowing Him, one can achieve eternal peace, from the Katha Upanishad. Such protection is given by His different potencies to different grades of living entities. But, as far as the unalloyed devotees are concerned, He gives the protection personally. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is protected from the very beginning of His appearance in the womb of His mother. And because He is especially given protection by the Lord, the indication must be concluded that the child would be a first-grade devotee of the Lord with all good qualities. There are three grades of devotees, namely the Mahabhagavata, the Madhyam Adhikari, and the Kanishta Adhikari. Those who go to the temples of the Lord and offer worshipful respect to the deity without sufficient knowledge in the theological science, and therefore without any respect for the devotees of the Lord, are called materialistic devotees. O Kanishta Adhikari, the third grade devotees. Secondly, the devotees who have developed a mentality of genuine service to the Lord and who thus make friendships only with similar devotees, show favor to the neophytes and avoid the atheists, are called the second grade devotees. But those who see everything in the Lord, or everything of the Lord, and also see everything and eternal relationship of the Lord, so that there is nothing within their purview of sight except the Lord, are called Maha Bhagavatas, or the first grade devotees of the Lord. Such first grade devotees of the Lord are perfect in all respects. A devotee who may be in any of these categories is automatically qualified by all good qualities. And thus a Mahabhagavat devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is certainly perfect in all respects. And because Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhisthir, he is addressed herein as the Mahabhagavat, or the greatest of the fortunates. The family in which a Mahabhagavat takes his birth is fortunate because due to the birth of a first grade devotee, the members of the family, past, present and future, up to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord out of respect for his beloved devotee. Therefore, the highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschade Shatarine Hare Krishna. So the context of this verse is the sages of Naimasharanya, headed up by Shonaka Rishi, requested Suta Goswami to speak about the birth and activities of Maharaj Parikshit. And they said they were very eager to hear about Maharaj Parikshit. This particular verse is being spoken by the Brahmanas. When Maharaj Parikshit was born, Maharaj Yudhisthira called all of the Brahmanas, very generously offered them cows and jewelry and gold. So many wonderful items he offered them. And then he wanted to know from the Brahmanas, what is the nature of this child? And the Brahmanas are saying here, stating here, that this child will be well known in the world as one who has been protected by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu Ratha. That's another name for Maharaj Parikshit, one who was protected by the Lord. And then the sages go on, or the Brahmanas go on to say, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee of the Lord and will be qualified by all good qualities. And for a devotee, that is like music to one's ears. When Srila Prabhupada appeared on this planet, his father Gaur Mohan went to the astrologers. And the astrologer did a horoscope for the child. And he made a specific prediction. When this child reached the age of 70, he would cross the ocean, become a great exponent of religion, and open 108 temples. And Gaur Mohan was jubilant. And everyone who heard this was jubilant. So this is the joy when a great Vaishnava takes this birth. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that he would like to have hundreds and hundreds of children if he could be certain that they all would be Mahabhagavatas, great devotees. So when a devotee is born, it is a great cause for celebration. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was a great devotee. And he's one of the central characters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And from the very beginning, we get an insight into the nature of Maharaj Parikshit. Actually, the whole Bhagavatam is churned because of the questions. And we see through various parts of the Bhagavatam, his questions are so sharp, so insightful. And he asked the most amazing questions. Like when Lord Brahma steals the cows. And certain things happen. He picks out, he says, what happened, you know, during that time? And in this way, you know, Prabhupada gives some examples where he says, Parikshit Maharaj, he wanted to know the activities of Lord Krishna while he was in Vrindavan, while he was in Mathura. Besides that, he was especially inquisitive to know why Krishna killed his maternal uncle, Kamsa. And why he was such an intimate devotee. Being the brother of his mother was a very intimate superior to Krishna. So how was it that he killed Kamsa? So he also wanted to know how Lord Krishna remained in human society, how many years he reigned over the kingdom Dwaraka, and how many wives he accepted. So all of his questions was prompting Shukadev Goswami to enter deeper and deeper and give more and more nectar. And in the very first question he asks in the Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadev Goswami says, Varyan eshe he prashna krita loka itam nipra atma vit samata pumsha shrotavyadeshu yat paraha. This is a verse quoted very often by Srila Prabhupada. And Shukadev Goswami says, my dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. So in this Bhagavatam, we see this wonderful exchange taking place between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. Very often, Shukadev Goswami would say, O king! O king! And then Parikshit Maharaj would say, O Brahmana! So this is a very wonderful personality, Maharaj Parikshit. And he's described in the verse itself as Maha Bhagavato. Bhagavato means devotee. Maha means great. So he's described as a great devotee. Srila Prabhupada's purport is full of wonderful insights and explanations. So I'll just pick out one or two aspects of Srila Prabhupada's purport. It starts off with a very wonderful statement. Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord gives protection to all living beings because He is the supreme leader. Now when I read this very first line, I thought, oh, I know Krishna protects His devotees, there's no doubt about that. But here Prabhupada is saying, He gives protection to all living beings because He is the supreme leader. So how does one understand that? That is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the subsequent statements he makes. And he paraphrases this famous verse from the Katha Upanishad. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vadati kamam. And this verse basically says that the Supreme Lord is eternal and all living entities are eternal. The Supreme Lord is cognizant, and all other living entities are cognizant. The difference between the Supreme Lord is that He is supplying the necessities of life for many other living entities. So protection comes in different forms. We normally think of protection as physical protection. But protection also means taking care of the welfare of one, providing the necessities of one. Just like a father protects the family in different ways. And one way is to provide the necessities. So Krishna is protecting all living entities in the sense that He is supplying the necessities of all living entities. Prabhupada says, from the tiny ant to the big elephant who's eating tons and tons of food in one day, Krishna is providing. So in this way, he is the protector of all living entities. Then Prabhupada goes on to say something even more interesting. He says there is different protection by different potencies to different grades of living entities. Different protection by different potencies to different grades of living entities. And then he goes on to say, for the unalloyed devotees of the Lord, there is personal protection. Krishna personally protects his unalloyed devotees. And we'll discuss this a bit further, because normally when one reads such a statement, one thinks, where do I figure? Do I get the personal protection of Krishna, or how does this happen? There's one interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 22. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janaha paryupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yoga shema vahami vahami aham. And the translation of this verse is, but those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. Now there's one very interesting story in connection with this verse. There was one renowned brahmana by the name of Arjun Acharya. And Arjun Acharya was writing a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And when he was writing the commentary, he came to this verse and he came to this particular word, vahami, which means I personally take. And he said, no, this is not possible. Otherwise Krishna will be running around all the time. So he struck this word vahami out and he wrote the word karomi, meaning I arrange. He actually struck it out from the book. And then this brahmana, Arjunacharya, every day he would go and beg for alms. So he went out begging one day. And while he was out, his wife was at home. And she heard a knock on the door. And she went and opened the door. And she saw standing at the door were two beautiful young boys. One was blackish in color, and one was whitish in color. And these boys seemed to be in a bit of a hurry, and they had loads and loads of prasadam and boga. And they said, your husband has sent this for you. But we can't stay long, we want to get away, because he's very cruel. And then the wife said, cruel? I never heard of my husband as being cruel. Why do you say he's cruel? Then one of the boys, that the blackish boy, he turned around and he showed his back. And he says, just look what he's done, how he scratched me. How he scratched me. And the wife was saying, oh, but I don't know. But they said, okay, we have to go now. And off they went. And after some time, the husband came and he saw the wife was eating. Now, it's Vedic tradition that the wife never takes a prasad before the husband. So he's wondering what's going on. But the wife said, my husband sent me the prasad, so he must have taken already. And then he's asking what's going on. She said, while you're away, these two boys came. But something strange happened. They were very afraid of you. And they said that you had scratched them. And then Arjuna Acharya thought, what's going on? And then he said, oh, I scratched that word vahami and I put karomi. That must not be true. It is true that Krishna personally He personally gives the protection to his devotees. And the first class devotees are the ones that get personal protection of the Lord. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the pastimes of the Lord that there are so many such examples. I'm sure some of y'all can think of, you know, many. There's Prahlad, you know, there's Gajendra, there's Maharaj Ambarish, and then, of course, the residents of Vrindavan. He was protecting them all the time, personally. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, there's also some very interesting examples. And I'd like to recite a few. In the Madhya Kanda, there's a section called the Mahaprakash Lila, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the house of Srivas Thakur, he takes on a very different mood. He sits down and he invites the devotees to bathe him and feed him. And he just comes out in this merciful mood. And then he starts to recount to the devotees some events in their lives. He first looks at Gangadas. And he says, Gangadas, do you remember that one night when you and your family were fleeing from the Muslims who were trying to kill you, and you were in so much anxiety about what they would do to your wife and your daughters? Do you remember? And do you remember how you went to the Ghat wanting to cross the river? And you were looking around, but there were no boats and no boatmen. And the night passed, and your anxiety was increasing. And then it became dawn, and still there was no boats and no boatmen. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Go Nitai Ki Jai. So he says, do you remember how much in anxiety you were looking for a boatman? And then he says, do you remember how suddenly from nowhere a boat appeared with a boatman? And Gangada says, yes, yes. He said, I was that boatman. I was that boatman that came to you. And then he looked at Srivas Thakur and he said, Srivas, do you remember that time you were in the school of Devananda Pandit and you wanted to recite and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in their association? And do you remember when that one verse was recited and you went into ecstasy crying and how they thought that you were a madman? And they caught you and they threw you out of the classroom. Do you remember how when you walked home, you were so depressed? And then you picked up your Bhagavatam. And he said, at that point, I personally entered your heart. And I filled your heart with ecstasy. And then you felt so happy again. And then at one point he looked at Haridas and he said, Haridas, do you remember when you were being taken from marketplace to marketplace and how you were being whipped? And although you were being whipped in a way that you could have left your body, you felt no pain. You remember, Haridas? And why did you feel no pain? And then Mahaprabhu turned around and he said, look. And on his back was all of these marks. All of these marks from the whips. And then Mahaprabhu was reciting all of these different ways in which he was protecting the devotees. So Krishna, he gives personal protection to the unalloyed devotees. So maybe we should just briefly discuss, what does unalloyed mean? Prabhupada said, when he first went to America, they were on the Boston waterfront, and there was a steel factory, and there was a big sign there which said unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada said, they are advertising unalloyed steel, and we are advertising unalloyed bhakti. Unalloyed steel means pure steel. It's not mixed with any other metals. And an alloy is a metal that's mixed. So unalloyed devotional service means not mixed with anything else. And what could be the potential impurities or mixes can be included in bhakti? Srila Rupa Goswami says, karma, yoga, and jnana. Karma means the desire for some fruit of result. Yoga means the desire for some yogic siddhi. And jnana means the desire for liberation. So unalloyed devotee means a devotee with no other desire but the desire to please Krishna. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his writings, he said, actually, that's not strictly true. A devotee does have a desire. And he says, the devotee's desire is that in whatever he does, may Krishna be pleased with what I am doing. That is the only desire of the devotee, that Krishna may be pleased with his activities. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about three types of devotees: the Kanishta, the Madhyam, and the Mahabhagavat, also called the Uttama Adhikari. And Srila Prabhupada explains the difference between the different types of devotees. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text 47, which explains that a person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but who does not know how to behave towards other devotees or people in general, he is called a Prakrita Bhakta or a Kanishta Adhikari. So a Kanishta or a third-class devotee, he only sees the deity and he sees himself. But he doesn't recognize the glories of the other devotees. That is a third-class devotee. And then in the Bhagavatam, the 46th verse, there's an explanation of the second-class devotee, the Madhyama Adhikari. And the Madhyama Adhikari is someone who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the highest object of love. He makes friends with the Lord's devotees, and he's merciful to the ignorant, and he avoids those who are envious by nature. And the first class devotee, he sees everyone else as a devotee, but he or she is not a devotee. So in the purport, Prabhupada is referring to the first-class devotee. In the purport to the Nectar of Instruction, in which these three classes of devotees are discussed, Srila Prabhupada gives another way of looking or distinguishing between who's the first class, second class, and the third class. And sometimes I find this probably a bit easier to know where we stand. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every year he used to go to a village called Kulinagram. And in Kulinagram, there used to be a devotee called Satyaraj Khan. And he's like a devotee. So every year, the devotees would ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a devotee? So the first year he went there, they asked the Lord, who is a devotee? And the Lord stated, anyone who chants the name of Krishna, that person is a devotee. So the second year he went, they asked him again, who is a devotee? Then Mahaprabhu said something further. He said, someone who chants the holy name of Krishna with faith, that person is a devotee. And what does it mean to chant the holy name of Krishna with faith? Gurudas Prabhu, you tell us. What does it mean to chant the holy name of Krishna with faith? Yeah, one way of looking at it, but it's something more specific. Yes, Sam?
Understanding that the name is not difficult.
Yes, yes. Prabhupada says, to chant the holy name of Krishna with faith means to have this complete conviction that Krishna and his name are identical. And the third year he went, and they asked him, who is a devotee? Mahaprabhu replied, a devotee is one who chants Sudanam, pure. He chants the pure name. So this is another way we can see for ourselves and among others, you know, which are the different categories of devotees. And one who is the first class devotee, such a person gets personal protection from Krishna. Then Prabhupada goes on to the purport day, explaining in another very nice way who is a first class devotee. And he says, those who see everything in the Lord, or everything of the Lord, and also see everything in eternal relation to the Lord, so that there is nothing within the purview of sight except the Lord, are called Mahabhagavatas, the first great devotees of the Lord. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking through the park with one of his disciples, Aniruddha, I think it was. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, what does a pure devotee see when he walks through the park? He says, does he see Krishna in the tree? Does he see him in the branch? Does he see him in the leaf? How does he see Krishna? And Prabhupada laughed and he shook his head. Then he pointed to his shoe. He says, what is that? He said, it's your shoe, Srila Prabhupada. Then he pointed to his chadar. He said, what is that? It's your chadar, Srila Prabhupada. What is this? This is your spectacle, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes. That's how a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere. He sees everything as being part of Krishna's energy. Part of Krishna's energy. So there's only a few minutes left. I would maybe just cover two more points in the purport. It's just packed with so much of wonderful points. Then Prabhupada goes on to say, a devotee who may be in any of these categories is automatically qualified by all good qualities. And thus a Mahabhagavat devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is certainly perfect in all respects. Prabhupada always throws some things that surprises you. I always thought the third class devotee, he doesn't have good qualities. Or he may have a few. But Prabhupada is saying, a devotee may be in any of these categories, but he is automatically qualified by all good qualities. I'm thinking, oh, this is maybe the Mahabhagavat writing here. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, Yasyati Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samasta Suraha Arava Bhaktasya Kuta Mahat Guna Mahoratanesati Dvavato. In this verse, it basically says, all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. So this verse is saying is, once one becomes a devotee of the Lord, one does not have to strive to develop good qualities. Automatically, simply by by dint of his engagement or her engagement in devotional service, all the good qualities of the demigods become manifest. And I thought about this, and I thought maybe there's different degrees of good qualities. Even the third class devotee has aspects of all of the 26 qualities of the devotee. But as the heart becomes more and more purified, then more of those qualities become fully manifest in the devotee. That's one way of thinking it, of it. And then lastly, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about the benefits that come to the family of a devotee. And Prabhupada writes, and because Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhisthira, he is addressed herein as the Mahabhagavat, or the greatest of the fortunates. The family in which the Mahabhagavat takes his birth is fortunate, because due to the birth of a first-class devotee, the members of the family, past, present, and future, to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord out of his respect for his beloved devotee. Now we know in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj was asked to request a benediction from the Lord, but he didn't want to ask any benediction. But he told Lord Nrisimhadev, but I have only one concern about my father. He's a demon, but what would happen to him? And then Lord Nrisimhadev replies, you don't have to worry. Just by you being a pure devotee, 14 generations of your family are already liberated. But Srila Prabhupada is saying, 100. 100 generations before current and future generations are all liberated. Now that is something very difficult to understand, but it gives us an insight into how dear the devotees of the Lord are to him. So it's 8:30, we'll stop here. There's so much more to say. We'll take comments or questions from the devotees. Hare Krishna.